Hello, hello. Welcome back. Today, we're going to be hanging out with one of my friends, Nick. Him and I met in an entrepreneur space here in Phoenix, and I am really excited to have him on. Nick is a YouTube advertising ninja and also a podcaster of the podcast called Just Grow Podcast. Through his work, he's been able to help coaches with more clarity and revenue and help decrease their burnout. You guys know how much I love that. And after being on the online marketing industry for a long time, spending millions of dollars on paid advertising and relentlessly studying the human mind, he knows exactly what it takes to make a person tick from the core. What we're going to learn today is after an intense injury that he experienced, he had a spiritual awakening that made him snap into the present and do everything that he's doing for a bigger reason. Everything he does is connected to his vision for helping people think for themselves, become successful in their mind, in their life, in their business, and become a better person. Let's welcome Nick onto the podcast, y'all. Welcome to Journey to Alignment, the podcast, where you come to learn about the journey it takes to fully lean into your purpose. I'm your host, Sam Harper, and founder of Sharper Advising. Together, we will learn about the beaten path and the methods it takes to be a trailblazer. Everyone's journey is different, and I want you to know that you're right on time and everything is falling into place. Your path doesn't have to look the same as anyone else's. When I'm rising, so are you. Let's get into it. Nick, thank you so much for coming on the podcast, Journey to Alignment. It is such an exciting pleasure to have you on. You are a podcaster yourself, and so it's always fun to riff and share stories and be in the same space as other fellow entrepreneurs and podcasters and people who are on a journey. So thank you so much for coming and being here with us today.
I'm going to jump
like right in and get to the juicy stuff where, you know, this can be a really broad question and you can take it wherever you want, but tell us, share with us, all the listeners, where did your journey start?
Such a great question. My mind goes to a few different places, and we had a conversation a couple weeks ago about this. And I think about a few different realms because I feel like I've had a interesting life, just as anybody has, and got a variety of different stories, but I always come back to this one time, this one place, one event that really shaped me and really kind of changed the direction and trajectory of my life. And that was when I would say it was kind of a spiritual awakening as well. So I would feel that your audience would be aligned with this answer. So I had just gone through a breakup. I feel it. After having a lot of conversations with people, it seems like breakups are kind of a catalyst to a lot of things.
100%.
So I'd gone through a breakup. It was one of the first ones that I've gone through, like a real breakup. And I was really starting to feel the backlash from it, if you want to say, just like the emotions, I should say. And just was not handling it well. I don't think I was equipped to handle it well, just because I was just doing my thing. And I wouldn't ever be the person to really open up and share. So I was just keeping everything inside, which ultimately was just making it 10 times worse. So anyways, other things, it seemed like that compounded everything else. Like business wasn't going very well. I felt like I didn't have much direction or clarity. And I just felt like I was drifting and very emotional. And I'm just an emotional person, as I've discovered recently more and more. So that kind of gives a little bit more context to all this. But what ended up happening as I was flying back from Virginia, where I was visiting my sister, and I was with my parents there. They live in Colorado and I'm in Arizona, obviously. And so I was back in Colorado for a couple of days, and I finally started opening up to my mom about how I was just feeling off, feeling bad, really. And just, I broke down to her. We were going to the gym and I just started bawling. I was just saying, nothing's going right. Mm-hmm. Everything sucks. And that whole thing. And so it felt good to like, at least just get that out. And so I went and worked out. And that was the one good thing going on in my life, is the gym was going well. I was putting on some good size. I was strong, feeling good in my body. But then I was finishing up my workout and I felt, for whatever reason, I felt a little more ambitious this day because of the fact, maybe because I just let all that out and I had a little bit more aggression that I wanted to channel, if you will. And so I'm finishing up my workout and I never do incline. I never do flat bench, flat barbell bench. But I was like, I kind of wanted to put on a little extra weight, like feel good in my body that I put on the weight. Start really cranking that out. And it was a little challenging, but it wasn't anything crazy. Like I was put on way too much weight, but I'm literally at the last rep of my last set of the workout the whole day. I'm like ready to be done. I'm going to rack it and put it back up. And all of a sudden something gives, I don't know what exactly happens, but the weight all just falls back onto my chest and there's no one spotting me. And so it was just shock. I don't know what was going on. I've never experienced anything like this. And then some guy is somewhat close. He kind of helps me up. I had my AirPods in and everything. So it was a mess. And I got it up and I got up and it was just excruciating pain in my left side. And I had no idea what it was, but I knew that something was terribly wrong. So I run over to my mom and said, we got to go. I don't know what's happened, but we got to go do something. And so we jump in the car and again, I just lose it. I just start bawling and I was like, what's going on? And cause she knows that physical pain doesn't really bother me that much. I've always been pretty tough in that aspect. So she said, why are you crying? And I remember that what I said, and I'll remember it to the day I died. And I said, when it rains, it pours. Mm-hmm. And I hated that I said that. Because that truly, at that moment, I kind of realized like, wow, that's the energy that you're putting out. Of course, like if you're putting out all this negative energy, that's exactly what's coming back. And that's literally where your mindset is, that of course this would happen to me. Mm. It just like shocked me almost, but ended up having surgery. And that was just like a crazy experience. Didn't have health insurance. Like it was just not an ideal situation, right. But I look back on that and I'm extremely grateful for that moment because it shook me out of where I was and I needed that. So the universe, God, whatever, was like, yo, Nick,
yeah,
wake up a little bit. And my mom really helped me through it too. Like she helped me realize that I was just in such a bad mindset that she just really inspired me to really get going on myself again, really dive back into personal development, start reading books, start meditating, start really working on myself. And it was kind of crazy because I don't think that I've ever been the same. And you ask any of my friends, they're like, yeah, there was a big shift and Nick's not like he used to be. So
yeah.
I feel like that was the moment that kind of really, even though I've been on personal development, I've been an entrepreneur for a while, like that moment is when thing has really changed for
that's
me.
The tipping point moment. There are so many pieces that I can extract and go off of from that even small portion. I know that there's probably so many more details involved in that part of your life and that part of your journey, but there's a couple of things that really stood out to me. For one, law of attraction, right? So the things that you put out is what you get back. And so if you say when it rains, it pours, well, fuck yeah, it's going to pour. It's going to be a storm. It's going to be messy. But I really want to maybe lean into this space of knowing that you were and are an emotional being and how that's really started to be a bigger part of your journey. I know that you've done some even deeper work since then. And tapping into the ego, right? So you have this moment in the breakup that takes a hit on the ego. You go to the gym, you're feeling like you're on fire. You're starting to embody these feelings, like you're feeling strong. And then you get crushed by the weights. Ego gets bruised again. And then you're bawling in front of your mom and not knowing really where these emotions are coming from, but feeling overcome by emotion. That can take a hit to the ego, feeling like bills are stacking up because no insurance and the finances, that's a hit to the ego. So there's just so many lessons in there that I'm sure that you're growing from and figuring out. But can you tell me a little bit about like what it means to you to go through an ego death or if that phrase even resonates for you?
Yeah, I'm glad that you point that stuff out and having realizations as we're having a conversation here. I've always heard that phrase ego death by some of my friends. And from my perspective, it's like so many times where the ego like would shine and raise up, making more money, being stronger, whatever. But then it just keeps getting beat down. Then all of a sudden it's like beat down to a pulp.
Right. Yeah. So when the ego shows its face, and it's a really attractive face, everybody loves the ego, right? The ego is what gives us like this false sense of confidence sometimes, or it actually, the ego can be helpful sometimes, right? But when it's showing its face in moments where you really need to be humble, right? Or the universe is showing you like, hey, maybe reprioritize where your thinking is, where your behaviors are, how you're feeling into things. Are you being authentic? And as you're having these emotional, I would say huge experiences, the ego is shown so that you can work through it. So it's like illuminating these shadow parts of yourself. And that's when you are playing with the ego and doing this mirror work and looking at those shadows and being like, okay, what part of this is serving me? And where do I need to make adjustments and reprioritize it? Because you said you're not the same person anymore. So there was, when we go through ego deaths, like over and over and over and over again. So I'm sure like parts of your ego are coming back in different ways. But from that experience that you just shared with us, how has that transformed the way that you're showing up authentically and maybe leaving the ego out of it a little bit more?
That was great. I feel that I'm more humble, down to earth, compassionate these days. Whereas before, like, I grew up an athlete. Mm-hmm. And I would never say that I was a cocky athlete. I really wasn't. In fact, if I was, I probably would have been better. And maybe there was times here and there, but I feel like that's kind of what it grounded me.
Right.
It was almost like I realized that there was something bigger than me out there. Cause it's like, this is kind of the thing that I like to share as well, is that, you know, I was under so much emotional stress that, you know, looking back, I was under so much emotional stress. And I'm sure you probably agree with this, but the book, The Body Keeps the Score.
Oh, one of my favorites of all time.
So at first I was like, well, this is just kind of a random thing that happened. But I also, looking back on it, I say, well, there was so much emotional stress in my body and it had to release somehow.
Yeah.
It came out from my shoulder. And so that in itself, like, really just made me realize that, wow, I'm not that big of a deal. Not that I was like super cocky or anything, but it just gave me a realization that there's bigger things out there than me that have a major influence on myself, but also everybody around here. And it's like, and I think that I'm coming to the grips of this much more, is just surrender and trust and know that everything's working for you.
Right.
And to resist that is to resist life.
Ooh, that's so good right there. Ooh, that, I'm going to save that one for later. To resist that, to resist life. That is so beautiful and so true. I often talk about the path of least resistance, and it's a daily challenge for myself, even in a practice of like, okay, what am I resisting today? An email, responding back to somebody, saying no or saying yes to a social or networking engagement, like where is the point of resistance and why am I resisting that? And if I let go of the resistance, then how is that filling my life even more? So I love what you said there. And let's talk about how the body keeps score for just a hot second, because that is literally one of my favorite books of all time. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if you've made this connection, but maybe you have. So the left side of the body is the feminine energy. The right side of the body is the masculine energy. You had just gone through a breakup. You were releasing on the left side of your body.
Wow.
Yeah. So really releasing, like, the universe shows up in the craziest ways sometimes. Like, we'll get us sick so that we can rest. We'll literally put you in a position where you are under pressure. You are under weights. You are under pressure to release something that was no longer serving you. And being able to like look at these moments and as metaphors to reach back in and collect from your toolbox as you move forward on your journey and like taking these signs from the universe before you are put under pressure again, but using it as more of like a warning sign, like listening to the body, embodying the feelings and not resisting, right? Allowing yourself to continue to flow through. So, which leads me into, I guess, of where you're at in your journey now, because you're crushing it. Things are seemingly looking like you're thriving and in more alignment and feeling really good. And I know that you've recently gone through a workshop or a program with a lot more like emotional intelligence and going into that realm in your growth. Can you share a little bit about where you are right now in your journey?
Yeah. There's one thing I wanted to chime in on.
Please do.
I think it could be really serving to anybody. And I want to remind myself of this time, because you said something about like, it seems like you're crushing it.
Right.
And so like, yeah, there's definitely some good things going on in my life, but I also feel like there's still a lot of challenges going on in my life. And it's interesting, especially with social media these days, or just because people tend to give the highlight reel, and there's, you know, it's not even necessarily the highlight reel. It's that they want to just focus on the good stuff. They want to focus on stuff that's working. They don't want to just share like, oh, having a rough day, like every time, like, and that kind of puts you back in a different direction. So it's a balance, but I'm just, the reason I wanted to bring that up is because I get caught in that from time to time as well. I was saying like, oh, look at this person. They're crushing it. Why am I not experiencing those type of results or that? So it's just like, I just want to really help people understand that it's never about like, never compare yourself to other people. Compare, if you're going to compare yourself to yesterday.
Amen.
So I definitely, because that's just been something that's really been on my mind. I had a conversation with a mentor of mine the other day. It was even yesterday talking about that, because I was really start strategizing what we're doing with YouTube ads and saying like, well, how can we make this work? These people are having these results. He's like, you don't know if these people are all having the results that you want. So just stay in your lane. That's the reason I wanted to bring that up, because I think that's a really valuable piece, because so many people get stuck in that comparison mode and it doesn't serve anybody.
I'm so glad that you circled back to that, because that is so true. And that's why I said seems like you're doing so-and-so, because I know for myself, when I'm putting things out there, it's not necessarily to be like, have this like toxic positivity where I'm like, it's all positive all the time. Sometimes when I'm pushing things out, it's when I'm having a dark night of the soul. Like I'm going through some personal things, and when I go through some personal things, I'm a workhorse. And so it looks like I'm crushing it, but really I'm like, this is hard right now.
And it's also like, what do you deem success? Because success is literally different to everybody.
Yeah.
It really is.
Yes.
Because I used to think, oh, you make this much money and you're good, or you have this relationship and you're good, or you live here and you're good. But literally so many people out there are just like, if I'm happy, I'm good.
Yes. Yes, yes, yes. Oh, so good. Yeah. Stay in your lane. Don't focus on other people's highlight reels. And everybody's definitions are totally different from what wealthy means. Wealthy can be spiritually wealthy. It can be you've got your health, your family, it's all intact. That can be like the most wealthy part of a person, where somebody else is like, if I don't have a million in the bank, then I'm not wealthy, you know? So lots of different avenues. And
some people might say, if I don't have a billion in the bank, then I'm not wealthy.
Exactly.
That's all relative.
It is. It is. Yeah. So
sorry, we feel like we just keep going on tangents.
No, I know. I love it. That's what this is all about. This is the journey right here. So sometimes the journey feels messy, or sometimes the journey takes tangents, and sometimes the journey takes us in a completely different direction than we thought we were going in. That's the whole point of all of this. So I did ask you about.
So answer the damn question.
No, I'm like, what did I ask you? I asked you where you are in your journey right now. But I'll give you a secondary question, because whichever one feels
in more. Case you want to veer off again.
Right. Because, and it's like kind of perfect. Sometimes we do get off of a path, right? That feels like maybe we're a little bit lost, or we don't have focus, or there's been like a hard right turn and you're like, oh, I'm off of my journey. I'm off of the path. And really that is the step off that gets you closer into alignment. So, and these two questions might actually be in alignment for you right now. So where you're at in your alignment, in your journey, and secondary choice, this is choose your own adventure.
I think I might be able to handle,
Okay. Ready, shoot.
So one thing that I've been, I actually just finished up recently is literally over the past 5 months, I went through this emotional intelligence program. Mm-hmm. And so when I said earlier that I didn't have the tools, I wasn't equipped with the tools when I had the breakup and the injury, it was true. And I didn't even realize that till recently. And actually going through this program and finishing it, did I realize how much, not that I was, I don't think I was ever missing something. If I didn't go through this emotional intelligence program, I still would have been able to have a good life and enjoy myself. And, but in my opinion, looking back on this is like, this is so important, this emotional intelligence program. And really what, the way I kind of see it is that it just helped me understand myself so much more on a much more deep core level, but it also helped me understand people as a whole. Cause we're all not, we're not that much different. We're all different, but not different at the same time.
You're pretty predictable.
Yeah, we're very, and just being in marketing, I understand the mind and how people just make snap decisions based on different things. So it's very interesting. I'm very curious about human species as a whole. And that's why I got into marketing. That's why I got into psychology. But going through this program, it just helped me understand so much and helped me handle challenge, if you want to call it challenges. And I'd say probably one of the biggest realizations that I got from this, we had a really cool event on Saturday. We did a Friendsgiving, and it was the biggest, coolest Friendsgiving I've ever been to. And we were all sitting around the campfire, and we're all like sharing our gratitude and whatnot. It's really cool. But the thing that I was sharing with everybody, and this has just been on the forefront of my mind lately, and this is really what I've gotten from this emotional intelligence program, is there's no such thing as good or bad. Mm-hmm. It is what it is.
Right.
And I think when you can get to a place where you kind of have that perspective, where it's not about necessarily enjoying life. This is something I'm really, really on right now. It's not about enjoying life, because life is not always going to be enjoyable. Mm-hmm. And I didn't think that way before. You know, when I was going through a breakup and going through this injury, I was like, this is terrible, this is awful. But you experience those emotions, but just, it's not about like good or bad. It's just like, hey, this is happening and I'm embracing it because this is part of life. And that's what makes life beautiful, is there's the yin and the yang, the light and the dark. I always say that for every Hitler there was a Gandhi. The world is in complete balance. And to again resist any side of yourself or any part of life is resisting life as a whole. So it's all about just embracing the moment. Even when I got sick recently, it was not fun at all. Yeah. I was in the shower, just like, I never experienced something like this, where I was just coughing and I couldn't stop coughing, but I had a moment and I experienced this sickness. I was not in this place where I was like, it is what it is.
Yeah.
Like, this sucks.
Right.
But there was a moment when I was in the shower and I was like, just embrace it. And I got fully present. I was like, wow, This is interesting. And I think if you can really get to the point where you just embrace everything about life, that's, and you stay present. And that's why this is what it all comes down to, is presence, being in the moment, being where you are, not being in outer space when you're in your office.
Yeah.
And I think that just makes a big difference. I think when you add more presence, it helps your conversations be better. The food tastes better. The sights look better. Like, it's just, it makes life so much more whole and rich when you're able to embrace the moment and stay present.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Mindfulness, you guys, mindfulness. Mm-hmm. This is so powerful. Being with your breath, being in your body, not in your head. I know a lot of people can feel like when you're in your head, you're in your body, but that's so not true. So being in your body, being able to feel into the moments. And I like how you said, be present in conversations, because I think things go fast, nowadays. Everything is so rapid. And so even when you're in a conversation, I'm not saying you, just kind of generally speaking, people are already thinking of how am I going to respond? How am I going to, what rebuttal am I going to have? What clever thing am I going to say next? Rather than sitting with the person and really taking in the words that they're sharing, it's a totally different conversation. And so I'm interested to hear like how this presence has transformed maybe some of the relationships in your life, whether that be, you know, friendships, working partnerships, collaborations, romantic partnerships, like how has this changed for you?
Yeah, great question. I appreciate you asking that, because that has been one of the more profound things that I've noticed over these last few months is the conversations, is the connections. I feel that I've always been pretty good at connecting with people, but ever since going through this and applying the tools, it's insane. It's absolutely insane. So maybe I started at a higher level than some people. I don't like saying it like that, but I just think it amplified everything. And it's the only reason I say all that is because everybody, even like people I just meet, it's crazy. It's hard to explain, but even just at this Friendsgiving, there was a guy that I met and he's like, I can tell there's like something different about you. Mm-hmm. I can tell that you're like processing everything that I'm saying.
Yes.
And it's just crazy that someone would pick up on that right away. And it's not uncommon. I have over the last couple months, I can't tell you how many times people have been, I don't know why I tell this. I don't know why I'm telling you this. I don't tell this to anybody. This is like my deepest, darkest secret. And obviously just don't share it with anybody, but I want you to know. Like, and it's just, I find that really interesting. Obviously I'm very honored that people would share that with me, that they trust me enough to share with me those type of things. But it also kind of inspires me and wants me to help other people get there, because I think this was the other question on my little note of, during the fire pit gratitude circle, whatever we're doing, was what does impact mean to you? And kind of shared a long story. So I'll sum it up here, but I think it's connection and real connection, because you can't truly connect with someone if you're putting up this facade, this image. And that's what I did a lot. That was one of my downfalls. And that's something I'm continuing to work on. Is I like to put on the image that everything's good, everything's great. And that's kind of where that came from. I was talking about the comparison stuff, is sometimes I do that. I like only put up the highlight reels and make people think that I'm crushing it even when I'm not. So it's like being vulnerable enough to share the things that you're insecure about. It's a balance. I was having this conversation with a friend, because you don't want to go either side too much, in my opinion, where it's like you're just sharing everything that you're insecure about and then you become that guy. But you also don't want to be here where you're just saying, oh, everything's great, everything's amazing, when it's not. So it's a balancing act. But I truly feel that when you put your walls down and you get vulnerable and you share and you connect in that way, it gives people permission to do the same thing. And it's interesting too, because there's some people, even the other night, a friend of mine I've been good friends with, we haven't been real close, but after that night, realizing how much stuff he's going through and his insecurities, and is stuff you never know what people are going through. And when you're able to have that type of connection with somebody and you get real and you get honest and you get authentic, that gives them permission to do that. And that might substantially help them, because even it was crazy. Like one of the guys, he just said, he texted me the next day, or we were texting the next day, and he just said, just having a conversation with you helped me tremendously.
Wow.
And I feel like that's such a gift that I'm able to give someone by just sitting here and listening. And I didn't feel like I was doing anything. I'm just sitting here asking him questions and just allowing him to come to conclusions. And so I just feel like that's such a gift that I would love for more people to have, because that's what makes life beautiful, is like really able to connect with people, because that's why we're here. We're social creatures.
Absolutely. Yes. And that requires an ego death, right? Mm. allowing yourself to be vulnerable and open and authentic and sharing the insecurities requires you to unattach from the ego and also not judging yourself. Is this what I'm about to share good or is it bad? Kind of saying what you were mentioning, not being judgmental, even how you're presenting, but just having the presence and awareness of I'm here to deeply connect with a person. And people love to be heard, love to be held. Like holding space is incredibly powerful. You don't have to say a word and that person who shares with you can think you had the best conversation ever when you didn't say anything. You know, it's having presence and awareness of being in the moment. So that is such a powerful part of the journey. And I would say a difficult
one. I was just going to chime in on one other thing back to your point about people are waiting to talk. Yeah. That's their version of listening. And I think I've been in phases of that in my life where they'll say something and I'll be like, I guess the thing I really think about is me just wanting to help people. I'm always like, my instinct is to give them advice. And so I definitely used to do that a lot more. And I still, again, always working on this stuff.
Right.
But me not jumping in and say, oh, you should do this, you should do this, but rather flip it and say, well, what do you think would help with that? How do you think your life would be different if you did this? And so like, that's really one of the biggest shifts that I probably made, even just thinking about it right now, which allows people to come to their conclusions and have those big realizations. And like what you're saying, it's just a matter of holding space and you just helping them rather than saying, oh, I know this, I know this, I know that.
Yeah. Oh, I love that tangible reframe for the listeners to be able to use and execute in conversations moving forward. I do something similar. So I do a reframe instead of saying you should do this or you should do that. If I know that the person doesn't have the actual resource or like doesn't know how to get there, I'll ask permission. Like, hey, do you want my insight? You don't have to have it. I don't have to share it. If you're looking for it, I've got it. Or do you want me to just listen? Because I've got that too. I'll listen all day long. You let me know, you know? And so that really—
Has anyone ever said no?
Yeah. I've had, but it's like kind of common nomenclature for me and some of my groups of friends that we know like, hey, I just need you to hold space and listen to me right now. I don't need you to tell me what to do. In fact, if you do tell me what to do, I'm going to end the conversation because that's not what I need. Or there'll be times I'll be like, hey, I need to tell you what's going on. I really need your honest opinion and I need some guidance here because I'm lost in the woods right now. And so, but that's kind of, we've built that within our group. I wouldn't say that I like a new person, they might not say no, but I don't know.
Yeah. I've thought about that too, because that has been something I've done where I asked permission, but then someone posed that question. Or some version of that, where it's like, would they really say, no, don't tell me, tell me, just listen to me. So it definitely, you would want to get to a place where you have that type of relationship. But I was just curious on if everyone's like, no, just listen to me.
Yeah, no, that's really interesting. Well, I was a therapist before too. And so I never gave my advice as a therapist. That's not part of your job. Your job is to help guide, right? And that's where the longest lasting and more profound change happens is when the other person comes to the conclusion or the findings on their own, because that's liberating and that's freedom. And that feels powerful when you're like, oh, I got here. Like I figured it out, even if you've been guided. And that's also part of, I mean, we do this not in therapy, outside of therapy too, of maybe somebody has guided you down a certain path and you're like, oh, I got here all on my own. You're like, actually, I had 5 mentors and I was in 3 masterminds and I read 10 different books and I listened to these 3 other podcasts. Like, I didn't do this on my own. I had a lot of help and encouragement along the way. But that's always coming back to being humble and like how you're journeying on down the path. So I want
to even come into like a sales and marketing perspective too, is that if you really want to generate clients and you want those clients to be really good clients, you're not are going to be the one that's just like, hey, you should buy this. You should buy this. And just like force them to buy it. You want them to come to the conclusion that they want to buy it because now it's their idea. And now they're going to go through with the program and their service or the product, whatever it is.
Yep. I call that backdoor psychology. So you give them all of the information, you plant all these little seeds and then they walk through it. But really you were like putting things in the background the whole time.
Yep.
Backdoor psychology. Yeah. A little fairy dust in there.
A lot of power in just like planting things and just,
yeah.
I even have had a mentor. I don't really work with him too much anymore, but he was all about storytelling and it's all about just planting little seeds instead of saying, oh, I'm so cool. You tell a story on why you're so cool. So you don't have to say it. People come to their conclusions why you're so cool.
Right. Yeah. Giving the authority to the other person to come to the decision is very powerful. So if you can share with our listeners, maybe some of the things that have been really helpful for you in coming into alignment on your journey, whether that be certain books, masterminds, podcasts, something tangible, what have you done to get you into alignment on your journey? And then, well, I keep wanting to give you like two questions at the same time. Okay. Ready, set, go.
Yeah, that's a great question. I might have maybe a little bit more of a unique answer because I am no stranger to personal development, masterminds, books, coaching. I haven't done as much coaching, but here's my take is that everything's great. Books are great. Mm-hmm. Podcasts are great. Everything's great. What are you doing with the information? And I know that sounds simple, but it's like, I even think about that on a daily basis. Like, you know, I read pretty much every day. I do all the things. But it's like, what is this action step that I'm doing? How am I applying this to? Because when things changed for me, and this was like right after the injury, is I told myself, I'm going to read this book, but I'm going to read this book like I paid 10 grand for it. Mm. I'm going to go through the exercise.
Yeah.
I'm going to implement it. It says you want to be doing this every Sunday night. Go back to it and do it every Sunday night. And I think that's where people get stuck, no matter what they're doing, whether that is a coaching, whether that is a mastermind. It's like they get that rush and that high and the fulfillment of just being there and soaking in the knowledge. Even one guy, he said, what do you call it? Infobesity.
Oh my God.
Where people are just soaking it in and soaking it in and not being consumers rather than producers, consumers rather than creators. So it's like, really think on that and really think, like, take some, you know, really look at yourself with full responsibility and say, am I just consuming or am I getting nuggets? Am I producing more? And I think about that, and that definitely isn't the path that I'm on a little bit more now is, okay, instead of just consuming so much stuff, because I have endless amounts of stuff. I created a program last year. It didn't even, wasn't the direction I wanted to go, but it was a speed learning program. So,
oh wow.
I'm kind of unusual where I probably have more knowledge than most people. And it's like is that really serving me? Mm-hmm. It does for sure. If you're not in that place where you don't consume anything, but it's like how take one thing a day and say, all right, let me apply this to my business. Let me put this into practice. Let me do this exercise that they're sharing. Even today, I went through some marketing training, really, really good. And my instinct says, okay, finish that video, took some notes. All right, let's go to the next video and just get the next thing, next thing, the next thing. But I thought about it, I was like, is that going to serve me? Yes, it can, but I think it would be probably better if I just went to two videos instead of 10 videos and went back to my notes and said, okay, here's where I learned everything. Okay. That's a really good point. I want to really think on that one a little bit more. Okay. How's this applying to my business? Cause it was like a training on offers. And so it was like, okay, well do I have a starving market? Are they easy to target? Like, those are just like the little things that he was sharing. So I was like, okay, well, where am I here? Okay. I need to improve right there. So it's just, I think it's once you get to a point where you're consuming a good amount of information, how are you applying that and how are you becoming knowledgeable based on your experience rather than just continuing to consume?
100%. Yes. I think we are in a culture where it is about consumption in like literally every single facet, but not so much about the application. And the application is really where the gold and the transformation and the alchemy from the information into existence really comes into play. And I love that was going to be my part two. I was like, how are you applying or what specific methods are you applying to your life currently that help you bring you into alignment? So for me, like I meditate twice a day. I have like a ritual of things that I do every single day. That's my application of how I stay in alignment or know when I'm out of alignment. And so what are some of those applications that you're applying right now?
Sure. I'm glad you asked this question because I've been gaining clarity around this. Because again, it's almost like the overconsumption of information. I mean, you could say that's kind of where I got to, where I was like constantly consuming. And again, not always a bad thing, but I felt like at the rate I was going, and like, yeah, I felt like it got me scattered. And so I've been following this one guy that's really been just great for where I'm at. And he talks about skill stacking. And so that gave me a lot of clarity because I'm like, I can consume anything.
Yeah.
I can do it at three times the rate most people can. But I'm like, what do I consume? Or like, what should I be focusing on? What's where to go? And so you should really identify the skill that's leading you to the goal that you want. So it's always important right away is to say, what do I want? I think that should be the question you ask yourself every single day and get more and more clear on that every single day. Because there's this adage, it's from a book called Ask and It's Given. I don't know if you've read it, but it talks about how this metaphor of you're driving from Phoenix to San Diego. And there's a lot of different components in it. It's like, but the most important part is plug that in the GPS, know where you're going.
Right.
Know exactly. So then you're not driving halfway and you're like, oh, maybe this is the wrong way. Or you see something else and you get distracted. It's a perfect metaphor, but it's a, where am I going? Mm-hmm. What do I want? What do I want? What do I want? Ask yourself that every day. So when you are more clear on what you want, then you say, okay, what is the skill that I need to master right now that improves my chances of getting there quicker?
Mm, yeah.
So I think that's something to really take note of and say, what do I want? And then just continue to realize, okay, what do I need to master? And then once you get to a point, this is the other thing you said, is that once you get to a point where your income becomes stagnant, it usually is because your skills become stagnant and you need to go to the next level. So, you know, let's just say for a sales example, the first skill, if you want to make $10,000 a month being a salesperson, then get master sales and get on a bunch of sales calls. You master that skill, you hit your goal, you hit a barrier there. And then it's like, okay, what's the next skill I need to cultivate and master so that I can elevate? Maybe I want to get to 20K a month. And then you say, okay, well, it's probably about hiring salespeople now and cultivating a team. You get to that point and then you're like, okay, well now I need to learn how to lead and basically lead a sales team. So it's like always going the next level. So that was just something that like really stuck with me recently. It's like identifying which skill I want to master based on what my goal is and what I want.
Yeah. I love that. It's like a template to work on, right? So I want to also just cue in for the listeners who don't know where they want to go. Because I've been there too. I think I know where I want to go. And then I'm going down this path and I'm like, oh, this is actually not where I want to go. And so giving yourself permission to pivot and go down a detour. And then also you had mentioned this, but I want to reiterate this too, is rather than over consuming is, and I talk about this all of the time, is slowing down enough so that you don't feel scattered from so much information. And also being able to have quality in what you are consuming. And so that's mastering the skill, that's mastering the technique, that's mastering the next step in the journey. And know that there's so much freedom in that if you get to you master one skill and you're like, okay, I've done this. I feel really good. This is no longer the path that I want to go, but that skill is going to serve me over here when there's a fork in the road. And so I also want just to chime in on that, because I think there's many of us who go down a certain path and you're like, oh, I wasted all this time mastering something and now I'm not even using it. And I don't think that that's ever true. I think that we just are able to reframe and transform those lessons into where you're currently at. Like, I have a master's in professional counseling. Am I a therapist anymore? No. Am I using my skills on a daily basis? Absolutely. So just that's more so for the listeners of like, it's okay to not know exactly where you're going. And if you do master something, you can still use that and apply it in a different way.
Yeah. And I think that's a great point that you brought up. I would say one is don't feel alone if you're there. Cause I think even 10 years plus of being an entrepreneur and a marketer, I still am like, what am I doing?
Yeah, always, right?
The one thing I will share that's kind of helped me with gaining more clarity on what I want are a few things. One recently is thinking time. I read a piece of this book called The Road Less Stupid. Really funny. Ooh,
okay, I'm going to have to jot that one down.
But he calls it thinking time. And basically what it consists of is taking a notebook and a pen and nothing else. Put your phone away, everything, and just take some time to really think about everything. Like, just get your thoughts out.
Yeah.
And just gain some clarity and go look over it. And it was insane the first time I did it. I'm like, wow, okay, this makes sense. And okay, that's why am I doing that? That doesn't make sense. And so I would say doing that on a consistent basis is going to help with clarity. Mm-hmm. But then I would also say the other thing that has helped me, and I think I've been good at this, is just rapid testing.
Yes.
If you think you want to do something, go test it out. Go do it. And I think to your point as well is think maybe even before you do some rapid implementation is think about maybe the long term of this and say, is this a skill that potentially could serve me for the next 15, 20 years? If not, then maybe like if you're just doing underwater basket weaving, like, yeah, it's cool if that's more just an outlet for you, but is that going to be a skill that a lot of people are going to pay you big money to do? Maybe, I don't know. But I just also know that you master speaking or you master copywriting, you master, I don't even know what else, but if you master things that are deemed that people value a lot, then you probably, if money is the goal, then,
right,
then you want to do that. So, does that make sense?
Makes so much sense. Yes. This has all been so incredibly helpful, and especially leaning into that you're not alone piece. Like, this journey on life is a crazy one. And you will go through moments where you feel very alone, or maybe you see the highlight reel. You can even look at my Instagram right now and it looks like it's on fire. Well, I, truth be told, it's kind of a lonely time in my life right now, but it's fine. And I'm embracing that, and it's all great. But knowing that you're never alone on the journey, whether it be you've got people in your corner, your cheerleaders, your supporters, your mentors, your group, your people at the Friendsgiving, or that is from the support comes from source, the universe, God, however you connect to the spiritual realm, is that you are always divinely protected and supported and never alone on this journey. So staying connected in any way that feels good for you, and coming back to that, the journey is always a messy one. It's never, never a straight journey. So this has been so great having you on the podcast. Thank you so much for sharing all of your insight. There's tons of books that you mentioned. We're going to put that in the description below. But tell us, where can we find you?
Yeah, for sure. Well, you can find me in person. We're doing our next podcast party on December 4th. If you guys are interested, that's kind of a unique thing that I've done. We didn't really dive into it, but I started a podcast recently, and the way I'm doing it is live podcast parties where we do about 40 minutes, just like what we did here. And then it's a networking party afterwards. So we're doing another one with my good buddy, Dylan Warder. He's an incredible human being and has an insane story. And we have it's going to be a good one. So if you guys are interested, our events are free. So we'd love to have you and come through. It's a lot of great people. We've gotten a lot of great feedback of how much people value the time they spend there. I mean, I have one friend that actually started dating someone that he met there. I've had people say they close business deals. Like, wow. It's a cool environment. So
love that.
Like a person. But besides that, Instagram is probably the best way to connect.
Awesome. And all of that information will be in the description box below. And I always say, when my vibes are rising, when my frequency is rising, so is yours. It's my version of namaste. So thank you so much for bringing the collective and all of the listeners a high vibration and sharing your story and sharing your journey. It has been such a pleasure. I rise, you rise. Thank you for listening to this episode of Journey to Alignment. Don't forget to share your favorite takeaways on Instagram and leave a 5-star review. Until next time, friends, I rise, you rise.